My guest for Travel Today can certainly top that because he has ticked off every single one of the countries recognized by the United Nations, 193 of them, and a whole lot more than that. His name is Harry Mitsidis. He is the founder of the online travel club called Nomad Mania, and Stuff magazine described him as the world's most traveled man. Here we are. He's, I think, 49 years old as we speak to him today. He's nowhere near ready to put down his suitcase or his backpack just yet. And it's a great pleasure to have him with us to chat about his wanderlust, to talk about some of his favorite destinations and most memorable travel experiences, and to reflect on the difficulties of being a chronic traveler in a world that has been put on pause by COVID-19. Talking to us from Athens in Greece this afternoon, Harry Mitsidis, welcome to Cape Talk. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you. Hello. How are things down there?
Oh, they are on pause, as they are in the rest of the world, Harry. And all of us who would love to be traveling are absolutely chomping at the bit to get back to it. I don't have to ask if you've been to South Africa, because I believe you actually have a very close South African connection in the family, don't you?
I do. My mum's from South Africa. So my mum was born in Cape Town quite a few decades ago. And she went to school there. She left when she was 16. But I think to this day, if you ask her, she's going to say she's South African. So, yeah, I guess I am half South African, although I don't really have that much of a connection to the place.
So half South African by birth, but you were actually born in London, and you've also got very close ties to Greece, Harry. So that means that you grew up as something of a multicultural person who traveled quite regularly, I understand.
Yes. Well, my father's Greek. My mum is South African, who then moved to the UK and then ended up in Greece as well. So, yeah, I suppose from the very start, there was an international element there. And a lot of coming and going. My mother's sister, who was also born in Cape Town, lives in the States. She got married there, so we would go there. So yeah, there were a lot of international, impetuses from when I was very, very young. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Harry, by the time you were 36 years old, you visited Equatorial Guinea, which was number 193 on the list of countries you had visited. And you didn't stop at that point. At what point did you realize this was becoming something that was going to be more than just a case of wanderlust or something to be enjoyed in holidays as and when you could afford it? When did you really decide that you were going to make travel your sort of central purpose in life?
I think it was gradual. You know, you don't just wake up one day and say, now I'm going to become a traveler. You know, you start with an interest, you explore more and then more. And gradually, I think it does become a bit of an addiction. I think I did try to balance between work. I used to be a lecturer. I taught management and human resources. So I had quite a few holidays and I would travel whenever I had time off. But then eventually, I think that the traveler just won. And so I think it was about 2010 when I realized, you know, this is what I want to be doing. I really want to be traveling as much as possible. And nothing else really has meaning for me apart from travel.
How do you fund it, Harry, is the big question I'm sure everyone is asking. I mean, I know these days your Nomad Mania platform is a full-time job of its own that obviously sustains your travel. But particularly in the early days, how were you able to afford to be jet-setting around the world like that?
Well, back then, it wasn't really jet-setting. You know, back then, I did work, and then what I got from work all went into travel. And, you know, I was younger, so I was very willing to do the backpacker thing, you know, to be on the budget. Obviously, some countries are more expensive than others.
Yeah.
There's no cheap way to go to North Korea, for example. You know, there you really have to book a tour, and it's quite expensive. And Bhutan is another one where, you know, you will have to go to an expense. But, you know, up to about 150 countries, I'd say you can do them on a reasonable budget. And then, you know, gradually I saved up more. And yeah, once Nomad Mania came into the picture, then we got a lot of donations and people giving, because we are a non-profit. So that helped a bit as well.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Nomad Mania. For those who are not familiar with the platform, Harry, started back in 2012 under a different name. I think you were the Best Traveler or something like that before, and then you rebranded as Nomad Mania back in 2017. Tell us a little bit more about the concept of the platform and what it's all about.
Okay, well, the concept has been dynamic and growing. So initially, I think it was a lot about, you know, I'd already done all the countries, and it was like, well, you know, you've got to do more. You know, I was already addicted, and I think I wanted a bit of a challenge for myself. So the initial concept was to divide the world into more than just countries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going to South Africa and you've only been to, say, Joburg, well, can you really say I've done South Africa?
Yeah.
Well, clearly not, you know. So the idea was to divide countries into regions or pieces and make it more of a challenge. So we ended up, right now we've got 1,301 such regions, and no one we know of has managed to do them all. I mean, it really is a challenge. So that was the initial idea. But then gradually a community was built. So back when I founded this, I knew barely, you know, I barely knew anyone within the greater traveler community. But so slowly I met more people, I made friends. You see that there's an extremely large number of very different people, but they all share the same passion, the same aim. They really love traveling and they're dedicating their life to it. And then gradually the nonprofit angle came along. So, you know, I feel that travelers tend to come from a finite number of countries. You know, you're always meeting Europeans, Americans, Australians, but, you know, have I ever met a tourist from, say, Myanmar or Malawi? Well, not really. And the idea is to try to make travel a bit more democratic by giving travel scholarships. So now this is something we're very much into. And in fact, after our talk today, I'm going to be having a Zoom meeting with the first cohort of successful scholarship receivers. So hopefully we'll be able to change the lives of a few people who've never really traveled.
We're talking to Harry Mitsidis, arguably the most traveled man in the world and the founder of the travel platform Nomad Mania, on the line to us from Greece. And we'll talk about where he's been recently in just a moment. But Harry, when you talk about traveling and experiencing a place, you're not just talking about touchdown and tick it off on a list and move on. As you said, a quick trip through Joburg is not the same as experiencing travel to South Africa. Do you have any sort of guidelines of how long you like to spend in a place, or the kinds of things you like to do, the first thing you do when you arrive in a new country for the first time, for example, that sort of to you is essential to any one of your trips?
Well, it does vary, and obviously a lot of that has changed with COVID.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of my favorite things when I arrive somewhere, if I've never been to a place, is to just find a cafe or the equivalent of a cafe, because not every place has what we think of as a cafe, and just sit and observe, you know, look at the people, how they're interacting, look at what scenes are going on around me, you know, savor the smells and all the goings on. And I think that is how I kind of, within the first half hour, I get a sense of whether that place does or doesn't do it for me, if you know what I mean.
Harry, let's talk a little bit more about travel under COVID, or the lack of travel under COVID. It's been frustrating for everybody to be facing global restrictions and quarantine procedures and borders closed entirely to many countries, especially to us as South Africans. What's it been like for you? I mean, as somebody whose entire life revolves around going on to the next destination, it must have been incredibly difficult.
Yes, it was. Well, the joke is when this first started and, you know, we were all locked in, I kept on getting messages from my friends who were really concerned. They're like, you know, I'm worried about myself, Harry, but what about you? You know, how are you dealing with this? Because we know that you can't stay still, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been very difficult. Obviously, travel is a luxury in a way anyway. And I realize that this is a situation where people's livelihoods are at stake. You know, it's a much greater thing than the idea of travel. But having said that, all of us who've dedicated their lives to it have found ways to still be on the move. And we have. I mean, I've had a lot of trips since last April. I've tried to do it as carefully and as ethically as possible. I have not caught COVID, and now that I've already had the first vaccine, I feel more confident. So I have had many trips, mainly in Europe, and always when it was in Europe, renting a car and being on my own. So in that sense, one of the very bad things is that you take away the people factor out of the equation. And for me, people are the best thing about traveling. So in a way, it's like half traveling because you can no longer interact. So that's one big downside. Yeah.
Harry, I think the most recent trip has been to Tajikistan. Tell us a little bit more about what you experienced there.
Yeah, I just came back. In fact, I just arrived in Athens this morning. So yes, I went to Tajikistan for 10 days. There's a region of Tajikistan called Gorno-Badakhshan, which is a very mountainous region on the borders of Afghanistan. And it is quite popular in good days. I mean, obviously, you need to be a bit of an eclectic traveler to choose it. But it is known among travelers because it's got really beautiful scenery, very pronounced culture. Tajikistan used to be a Soviet republic, so it's got a little bit of that Soviet way of life, remnants of the hammer and sickle and things like that. At the same time, the people there are sort of a Persian culture. Tajik is a language very similar to Persian. So it's quite exotic, the way people are dressed. Everyone is extremely friendly. I stayed at homestays there, and they were delighted to see me because they have not really been that many tourists since last March. Well, perhaps I was even the first foreigner there. So, and you can look across the river into Afghanistan. The road kind of straddles the border, which is the river. And so I found myself, I have this really big camera with a good zoom, and I found myself zooming into Afghan people across the river, taking photos of them. That was fun. Yeah,
Harry. Of course, you've been to Afghanistan in the course of your travels, and I would imagine that might have been one of the places that people told you you're crazy to be going there. It's not safe because you were there in 2003. Tell us a little bit about your experience of that country.
Yeah, well, in fact, it is when I went to Afghanistan that I realized I'm going to do every country, because that was the big no-no, before. But I had always been attracted to Afghanistan, and I was not wrong. It is a fascinating culture. It's the only place where so many different looking people are all of the same nation. You know, you have people who are blonde, then you have people who you have all the different combinations, and they're all Afghan. It's incredible. They dress differently. They speak different languages. In 2003, I just landed in Kabul, and I had no plan. I had a visa and I had my backpack, and I just, exited the airport and thought, well, now what? You know, I didn't have any reservations. I didn't really know where I was going. In retrospect, that was quite brave or foolhardy, whatever. But a young man came up to me and he introduced himself as a representative of the tourist board of Afghanistan. And he showed me a card, and I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to trust this man. And we ended up having a few really nice days together. He took me all around the town. I saw Kabul. On my first visit, then I just did the capital. But I've been to Afghanistan twice since, doing much more than that. And it really is a fascinating country. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it if you are particularly security conscious.
Harry, which other countries have been real eyebrow-raising experiences for you? I mean, you mentioned North Korea being a very expensive place to visit. I remember having a conversation with traveler Henrik Jeppesen a couple of years ago where he said that was one of the most hair-raising places to visit. What would you add to that list?
Yeah, well, North Korea is the country people always ask me most about because they think it's impossible to go there, but it isn't. You just need to fork out quite a lot of money. It is very unique, and I do recommend it, and it actually is really safe. You're not going to get robbed in North Korea. So that is a memorable one. Personally, I really like Mexico. I find it extremely welcoming, extremely friendly, an extremely romantic country. You know, you've got these villages, and in the early evening, couples of all ages meet around the rotundas in the central square and dance. I mean, you can't beat that. It's just so sweet. I think Iceland is extremely an extremely beautiful country, fascinating scenery, and a bit of a quirky one in terms of culture, a bit unusual. I do really like Japan. I think I'm not the only one. It's just it does have a wow factor, does Japan. And in Africa, I really enjoy Ethiopia. It has a unique culture. And also what I like about Ethiopia is the difference between the south, where you have all the tribes and the different tribes, and then in the north you've got a very Christian kind of spiritual vibe with old churches. So that is a country that I really appreciate in Africa.
We're in conversation with world traveler Harry Mitsidis. He's literally been to every single country on earth, some of them more than once, and is the founder of the travel website nomadmania.com. If you've got a question for him, by the way, you're very welcome to pop it through on our WhatsApp line to 072-567-1567. Somebody has done just that, Harry, asking whether you're planning on coming back to South Africa at all in future?
I'd love to. I really would. I'm going to tell you a secret, and you're not going to believe this, but I haven't been to Cape Town since I was 10. So even though my mum's from there, and we all went back on the family trip in 1982, I haven't been back, and I really feel guilty. I have been to South Africa quite a few times, but somehow I've never been to Cape Town. So that really, really is a must, given that my mum was born there.
Yeah.
And I hope to make it as soon as this COVID thing is kind of over, as soon as possible.
Well, Harry, if that happens, please drop me a line and let's get you into studio to continue the conversation in person, please. We'd love to organize that when such things are possible.
That would be fabulous. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Thanks.
Okay, consider it a standing invite. Harry, are there any places that you've visited and walked away going, never again, I never want to set foot in that country ever again?
Look, yes, but no. I mean, I think sometimes negative things happen and you at that moment think, God, I really can't stand this place. But then, you know, when you think about it more, it always has to do with one moment or one incident, and you shouldn't judge a whole country based on that. I have to say I found Gambia on two occasions difficult to deal with. I found the people very pushy, and you know, I couldn't walk down the road without having all sorts of people coming up to me and you know, wanting money for whatever. But on the whole, I think I like going everywhere, and I would never reject a place. I think everywhere is interesting, and it's just up to you to be savvy enough to look at the good things, because people are interesting no matter where they are.
I love that. I mean, that's kind of the whole ethos of our show. Everybody's got a story to share. Everybody's got something interesting about them. Harry, I like the way you think. What about that list you mentioned? So the site has identified 1,301 different regions and territories, and you mentioned nobody, as far as you know, has done all of them, obviously yourself included. How close are you, Harry, and is the goal to finish all 1,301?
I'm about 65 away. And that's not, it doesn't, you know, if you look at it as a percentage, it's only about 5% away, but it's the hardest 5%. You know, there's some pretty tricky places there, like Gaza, for example, and I'm quite sure I'm never going to get there under, well, at least the way things are now. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a goal. I mean, it would be nice, but it is more of an aspiration, and knowing where I still have to go gives me aims for where I might be traveling next, if possible.
Somebody's asking whether you, you have been to Myanmar. What was your experience of that country like, Harry?
I've been to Myanmar 3 times, and I have to say it was lovely. I know that right now it's not going through its best time, but when I was there, I found it brilliant. I found it like a much unspoiled Thailand, so not that many tourists, a lot of places to see, a lot of fabulous temples, some really nice beaches around Thandwe. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at how great the beaches were, and I had never actually heard of, you know, having a beach holiday in Myanmar. So, yeah, I have very fond impressions. And Yangon, which used to be called Rangoon, is a very interesting town. It's got a bit of colonial, but it definitely blends in a lot with the local culture. So, you know, and a lot of very nice gardens. It's beautiful, yeah.
Harry, I want to thank you so much for making time to chat to us today, because I know you must be exhausted speaking to us straight off a trip, straight off an aeroplane, getting you to Greece this morning. It's been an absolutely fascinating globe trot around the world with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. Thanks.
And I hope it's a conversation we'll continue in person one day when you make it to Cape Town, and that we can invite you into studio. In the meantime, Harry, won't you tell our listeners where to find your website if they can want to read up more about your travels and become part of the global travel community?
Yeah, well, www.nomadmania.com. Join it. It's free of charge. Fill in where you've been and, yeah, become part of it. I'm sure you're going to like what you see.
Harry Mitsidis on the line to us from Athens in Greece. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this afternoon, giving us a little bit of a taste of what none of us can have at the moment, traveling the world at will. Harry is the founder of nomadmania.com, which is the platform to visit if you'd like to read up more of the stories of those who have traveled multiple countries around the world. And we hope we get to continue that conversation in studio, maybe in front of a live studio audience. One day such things will be possible again, and we look forward to having him join us then.